All right, today my title is Delivered and Acquitted with the Power of the Praise. I don't know if you have seen that word before, acquitted. It just suggests one thing, that somebody has been watching too much American politics for the last few weeks. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe only Mike knows. All right. So anyway, I hope that what I'm about to share today will be something additional. If you've been here this morning, and Pastor Cheung, was our senior pastor, was talking on unceasing prayers. You know, the need, why we need to continue to pray and seek the Lord. So as I shared with you last week, using the same passage, I like to focus on another aspect about seeking and living. What do you mean to seek and live righteously for the kingdom of God? So let's read the scriptures together. I have the same verse. One is in a New American Standard Version, and then another one is on a Message Bible. So at the count of three, let's read together. One, two, go. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. Okay, let's read the Message one. One, two, go. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, God, for your word that is so matchless, God. We know that it has carries the power. And today, Lord, as we want to look deeper into your word today, God, open up, God. Let our hearts, our mind, God, whatever our thoughts are going on today, God, that we come and bring it under the submission of Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for peace to rest over our mind, our heart right now. And Lord, we know that, God, that you who called us, Lord, you are faithful, oh God. And thank you for your faithfulness for the past weeks, and God, protecting each of us. And today, Lord, we also want to pray for those who need your healing touch, oh God. If they are watching from home, Lord, we want to speak, Lord, healing power, Lord, over their body, over their heart, Lord, give them the strength they need right now, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, also for many who are also struggling during this time, being homebound. God, if there are some kind of depression or, Lord, they are struggling with in loneliness, I pray for also, God, that you will be their rest, that you will be their peace, oh God. Lord, comfort them. And Lord, I just thank you, God, as you commit this time to your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So what do you mean to seek his kingdom and his righteousness? Yes, I understand. You might say that, Pastor, it's about putting God's interest first in my life, or putting at times that what God is challenging me to do for myself, or to do something for him, or something for the good of the family, or something that is for the church, or for our neighborhood, or even our community where God has put us. There are different things. And then here in the scripture, it says in verse 30, give your entire attention to God in doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen. God will help you deal with whatever hard times comes up when the time comes. I want to really focus on the last part here. The scripture suggests that even when you put God's priority and his kingdom work first and his righteousness, hard times going to still come up. That's why he says there, when he comes up, that he will be our help. Based on my personal experience, I know that it can be really hard to feel God's love for you, especially when you are worried about your future, about your children's future, about someone that you're taking care of who is suffering, your loved ones who are suffering. You might be asking God why. When you are faced with depression or multiple symptoms that's happening in your body, suddenly you begin to ask, like, what is that happening, God? I prayed, I fasted, I did everything, you know, that I know. How about when continuously you've been turned down for a job application? Or when your debts are mounting and adding to your credit cards, and you know that your sales, your income is not coming in or not enough? What do you do at that time? So what does he mean then to seek his kingdom and still worship God when things don't go according to my expectation. You know, it's easy, right, when everything it's being promised, that he said that, oh, God will give you everything if you just follow him. I know I've been serving him for more than 20 years now. That's not the case. Hello, are you still with me? I'm not scolding you, I'm just preaching, okay? I'm just loud, okay? Right, so it's okay. I can't see your facial expression because I can only see your eyes and some of your noses. All right, so I'm probably smiling and speaking, but because of my ninja turtle mask, it looks so fierce, right? Yeah, next time I need to put like a joker here, right? You know? That's worse, right? Like, oh, I look like serial killer here. In Colossians 1:16, he said, everything was created through him and for him. For who? Who is him here? For Jesus. The message by everything God started in him and find purpose in him. That includes you and me. The secret is that, you want to hear the secret? It's not about you. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. And tell your neighbor again, it's not about me either. This is what Rick Warren said. He said that the purpose of life is far greater than their own personal fulfillment. Your peace of mind and even your happiness. It's greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dream and ambition. If you want to know why you were placed on this earth, you must begin with God. You were born by his purpose and for his purpose. Amen? If you don't get this, you're going to keep on struggling in life. Contrary to what the world is saying, focusing on yourself will never reveal your life purposes. The fundamental truth is that you were made by God and for God. And until you understand this, life will never make sense. Amen? In fact, in my sermon today, I'm not going to focus so much on about the problems, which actually I spoke this about a few years ago. What a problem that you might be facing. But I want to deal with how we deal with them when they come and come out victoriously. I mean, being victorious is not always like constantly happening every day. There are times that you feel like so bogged down, you know, with things that are happening around you. You don't feel like hallelujah all the time. But something from the story here today, from Acts chapter 16, you will find one of my favorite passages in the Bible regarding the effect of true spirit-filled worship. Where, you know, you will see this, Paul and Silas got sent to jail for doing something right. So let's look at these five facts about problem or crisis. Like I say, I shared this thing before, but on a different passage. But the fundamental truth is that these are the things you're going to keep seeing. First thing is that problem or crisis are to be expected. I didn't say this, but someone has said that. I will let you know. But something that I've learned by now, if you never knew, you will know today about problems. You might be going through one right now. And for some of you, you might just came out of one. And for some of you, you might be going into one. I mean, Maya, I'm not cursing you, but this is the fact in life. This is what's happening day in and out. You just came out of one, another thing came out. This is the fallen world. This is what and how we deal with this world. In John 16:33, I told you, somebody saw this. It's Jesus the one who told you this. I have told you these things so that in him, in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. But you might say, Jesus, I know you have overcome the world, but how about me? If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the one who's living in you is Jesus. Amen? If he say, I have overcome the world, it means that as long as he's with you, he will help you, he will walk you through every situation so that you will be above the circumstances. Amen? Paul and Silas were called to spread the good news of the kingdom. So the story started here. You know, that if you begin to read in the book of Acts, it is the book, the first book after the four gospels. right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you start with Book of Acts. It started with how the gospel came out, because before Jesus said that, right, to go and preach the gospel, but Book of Acts is where you will see the amplification, how the gospel began to spread. And this is on this trip, Acts chapter 16, you begin to see Paul's second missionary journey. Paul had three mission journey. So this is the second one that he's on this journey with Silas on this trip. As they were covering, and you can show me the map here. Is that a map there? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I put a modern map, because if I put that Galatia, Philippians, Corinthians, you might like, what in the world? Like, where is that world? But on the first missionary trip, I mean, like, Israel is down here. So Paul came up here, and then he pretty much covered Turkey. All right? So this is where he was preaching the gospel and all that. And then as he going further to the left side here, I mean, like, to the, I don't know, do you say west side of Turkey? What began to happen? God began to stop them. And I told them that suddenly they had a vision. Paul had a vision. He said that there was a Macedonian man calling me. So this is Macedonia here, Philippi and Thessalonica, okay, all will be here. That is like part of Greece, right? So they say, we had a vision that we need to go and bring the gospel. And this is what amazing, because Luke is the one who's writing all these things. He said, although Paul got the vision, but he said that we agreed, we will go. So they went on this trip as they go. You begin to see this is a problematic situation. You know why? Because they already had a plan to cover some of this area not been covered. Suddenly, because this is a totally a different region. This is the beginning of Europe. That's Europe already. So if you are very organized, someone who plans for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and then suddenly now God just changed your plan. It is a problem. That is a problem for some of you. You'll get stressed because, oh no, I already plan, this is where I want to go. God, like, why now you are changing all the plans? But although they didn't say that, you know, they said, Paul, if you said it, let's go. Although they were uncertain, what they do? They began to obey God and began to sail to the port city of Macedonia. Okay, so it's around here. This is where the city called Philippi. The city is a port city. That means it's by the sea, and that is a very rich and a luxurious city. All right, at that time. So when Paul and Silas began to embark in that place. So as usual, what they do is that they go and look out for people who are gathering, and it says that on Sabbath they went out there and then saw some woman, and then they were talking to some woman on that day, and then here they began to encounter a lady who sells purple. Clothes. It's called, her name is Lydia. This is where the name came, Lydia. And Paul began to share the good news with her. And then what happened? Right at the moment, she believed. And not only her, but her whole household believed, and they got baptized right away. That's amazing. So they came here. They were uncertain, unexpected to her, but here when they came, God began to do amazing. It's something amazing. Do you know that Lydia is the first European convert? She's the first believer in Europe. Isn't it amazing? It's a woman. Amen. Hello, ladies. You see, in Europe, the first believer was a woman. It's amazing. So don't so look down on yourself. God has done amazing things. But what it seems to be unexpected turn out to be a blessing here. Second thing is that problems are variable. Problem comes in different forms and shapes. Usually through human beings, right? When I say form and shape, you know, you got tall, you know, there are different sizes and forms and shapes. Right? I shared last week that we all walk on different shoes, right? You might not understand what I'm going through, and I might not understand fully what you are going through. And sometimes you might feel that no one understands me. Even it looks like the same problem that someone else, and they're trying to give you some guidance and help, but you feel like it's not really helping me. If you are in that situation, don't worry. You are not alone. We all are in the same shoes. But here, Paul and Silas, they were faced with a girl with a demonic spirit. It says here in Acts chapter 16, we're going to read here, He said, once when they were going to a place of prayer, they were met with a female slave who had a spirit by which predicted the future. She earns a great deal of money for her owner by fortune telling. You know fortune telling? It's about telling your future stuff right now. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. Underline there, many days. Next thing is that problems are unpredictable. Many a times we don't even know when the problem is going to strike us. Right? It doesn't give you a call. Hey, Connie, I'm coming to you. I mean, some, you know, if it's some people, you know, that's a problem. You know, maybe it happened once a while. But most of the time, you just get hit like that. You don't even have time sometimes to think. How come it is so sudden? And then here, while all this thing was happening, what Paul did was that in chapter 16, verse 18, the next verse, he said that, then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rod, and then they had many stripes on them. And they were then thrown into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stock. They never expected. They thought everything started good with Lydia coming to know Jesus. And then the whole household, and then the next moment they were sharing, suddenly this crazy woman came, and then they end up in prison now. It was so unexpected. The fourthly is that problems are impartial. They are neutral. In Matthew 5:45, he said that he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Just because you are such a holy person, a super prayerful, and read your scriptures every day without failure, the problem just won't pass you by. All these are good things. We need to do this to strengthen our spirit. Because when you are doing this, this is what makes you strong to face the problem and circumstances. But that doesn't mean that it still won't come to you. We are not excluded from any crisis. I mean, at times, you will face difficulty because you just did the right thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got into a problem because you did the right thing. And they got sent into the inner prison cell that is reserved usually for the worst criminals. Can you imagine that? Because somebody lost their business, they have to pay the price. You see, there always will be a consequences in the face of advancing God's kingdom. Jesus mentioned that I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Because why? Bringing the gospel means it's not you're bringing to the enemy territories. You mean I break open into your house, you're just going to keep quiet? No, right? You're going to try to find a way to take control back again. But what you're doing is that when you're preaching the gospel, you are setting people free. There's someone who's not happy with you. And who's that? The enemy, the devil. Hello, are you hearing me? He's not happy. So he will bring every kind of situation into you so that you can give up and leave and go to your corner where you should be. The final thing is that you can choose the response to your problem. And how do you choose that today is that you have two ways. Is that whether you can be filled with panic or you can be filled with praise. This is what we call the effect of thanksgiving. When you are panicked, because you might ask this question, where are you, God? I'm going through all these things and I'm not hearing you. I don't feel you. Where are you, God? Even your loved one just passed before you and say, God, are you still there? How come you still allow this? And we can get into a panic. I had a lady long time ago, I mean like this, when back in Malaysia, my home church, one of our elder of the church, the family, they went for a waterfall to swim. And when he was jumping, I mean like everybody was jumping into the waterfall. And when he jumped in, he never came out. Nobody knows up to now what happened. He just died. He didn't hit anything, but when he dived into the water, he came out dead. Doctors even don't know what happened. And imagine his wife with 3 children, and she told me, everything held by my husband. He holds the ATM card. I don't even know the number. I don't even know how to take the, because the account is under the husband's name. She said, how can I even get the money now? I never been into the ATM machine. She was really, really panicking. We said, don't worry. We will try to get to the banks to help you out, you know. The first thing is that Thanksgiving brings supernatural intervention. Can you repeat? Thanksgiving brings supernatural intervention. Say, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Wow, are you kidding me? First of all, to just hear the passage, you say that Paul and Silas were doing what? They were? They're like, who do that? I mean, like, you just got beat up for preaching the gospel. And then they really beat them up and then throw them into the inner cell. This is all the worst criminals are. And not only them, their hands were tied and the legs were also tied. Not in the, you know, the wooden thing where you cannot move your, it's just like clamped to your leg. I know they could even move. Silas could have easily said that, oh man, it is just my first trip. Paul, how can you do this? Why did you got me into this problem? You know, they could have, think about how they could have done things differently. But here, specifically, Luke began to tell that they were praying and singing hymns. I mean, give me a break. Paul and Silas were minding their own business, right? I mean, like business means they were doing the work of the kingdom, preaching the gospel. And then here, while the lady with the demon was just too annoying. How annoying is that? You might say, oh, Paul, while you are preaching the gospel, this lady keep coming back again and again. And then, remember I told you the underline? Underline what? She was doing it for many days. What was she saying? But what she was saying was so annoying. You might say, oh, Paul, you should have been more smart. Why did you pray for her? I mean, if you heard her saying what she's saying, let's see, you will be annoyed or not. Come on, Jenny. It's your turn. Jesus loves you. What? What? You know, Jesus bring the kingdom of God. Are you okay? Jesus is preaching the kingdom of God. No, thank you, Jenny. We were just doing a drug. Can you give a clap hand and give a round of applause? You feel funny, right? Like, why would she come? She's not demon possessed. I'm about to pray in Jesus' name. Come out. Just to wake some of you up. But imagine, she's just showing it so softly. And this lady, he said, she was screaming literally and doing that for how many days? He said many days. How would you feel? Someone walking around you and saying that. But the thing is that whatever she said, was there anything wrong with that? The Bible say, the woman with demon will say that these were the men of God. You know what they are preaching is the kingdom of God. I mean, can you imagine the demon is saying through this woman? If you know Paul, if I think that he's not smart and he didn't use the wisdom, why would you go and pray for that woman? Actually, he said he prayed because why? He was annoyed by her because she was just coming after him day after day. But let me suggest you on the contrary. If you remember before even at the road to, where is that? Damascus? What happened to Paul? Even before that, he was breathing threat and murder against the Christians. Paul hated the Christians. And he schemed around how to catch them and put them in prison. Right? This is Paul. So, when Paul sees another guy or another person with the same trait, he knows. If you are in certain trait, when you see another person, you will know that, okay, what kind of things are this person are involved. So he was smart. That's why you need to ask, why did Paul allow her for many days to follow around? Because Paul knows the moment he's going to pray over her, something else he need to face. And exactly, although it was unexpected, but he knew that because these men were making money out of this woman. Because she tell about the past, future, you know, it's a good money making. So by her following these guys, because they're speaking something new now in the city. So this guy, the boss thought, oh, maybe it's a good thing. Because everybody is coming to listen to Paul and Silas. You know, let's keep up, keep this lady there. It's good for their business. Maybe she can get more power from these guys because these were foreigners. Right? Whatever she said was nothing wrong. But who was saying it and the way she's saying it was not correct. First of all, Paul and Silas don't need her affirmation. Right? Because why? Paul, he knows who is in him. The one in him, he's greater than the one in the world. The fact that because you're speaking, that's why the demon is manifesting. Rather than you thinking that the demon is praising God. No, the demon is trying to bring a lot of hindrances to them. Because the more he's speaking, the lady is keep doing this. So the scripture says, not scripture, say Paul was patient and he know that he's about to face the consequences. So Paul and Silas, when they got into trouble and got into the prison, they did something unthinkable. What was unthinkable after you got beat up? They were praying and singing hymns. I don't know, I would be able to do that. But I began to search the word here for singing hymns. In Greek, it says hymnon. You see the word hymnon? That's where the word hymns came from. It's a Greek word. It meaning singing praise to God. Now, I just began to think that, what is the definition of praise? It is the expression of respect and gratitude as an act of worship. Can you imagine? Just got beat up, got thrown into the inner cell, and then now, they're talking about God's goodness, singing praises to Him and praying to Him. I mean, they never knew that prison door going to get open. Or I mean, this is the first time it began to happen, right? They never knew what's going to happen. But they were just doing it because this is who they are. You know, I like what Andrew Womack mentioned in his book, Sharper Than Two-Edged Sword. He said, you can check a person's spiritual pulse by examining how thankful they are. The amount of time you spend praising God is the greatest single indicator of where you are in your relationship with the Lord. Anyone who isn't praising God and operating in thanksgiving regardless of what is going on in their life, doesn't really understand what God has done for them. Most people are content to praise God when things are going well, but their praises stops when stress of life start pressing in. And they didn't give up. They began to just praise and began to worship God. The second thing is that thanksgiving removes the hindrances and brings restoration. You see, what were the hindrances? Basically, they were enemy now of the city because the city magistrate thrown them into the prison. So everybody hates them now. So there's a wall of dividing wall that they couldn't even go against this. And now they're in the prison cell. And they say clearly their inner cell. That means it's not the normal cell for the normal people. These are like the criminals who are underneath there. Make sure that nobody sees them. And they were in stocks. And what happened while they are worshiping? Chains began to crack open. Doors began to open. Everything that was bound them began to let loose. Amen? That's how powerful the praise was. I don't know how loud was that, but they say all the inmates were hearing them. And this is amazing, right? Was only their chains got loose? What does the scripture say? All their chains. The rest of them were just listening. But all their chains got loosed. Is that something amazing? That when you are praising God in the difficult circumstances, or no matter what your circumstance is, there's something happened to your surroundings. Amen? Because when you bring the praise into the circumstances to your situation, you began to crack open something in the spiritual realm that nobody knows. But angels began to work on your behalf. Amen? And that's how powerful praise is. Your boss could have scolded you, you're useless. But inside your heart, you began to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I know who I am. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the apple of your eyes. I know who I am. You love me for who I am. You know, when you are praising in your heart, none of them can do anything. Even at the worst situation, when you began to praise, even in your heart, something began to take place. Angels are hearing you and they take command. They take in charge right now. Because what the enemy is trying to do here. And he says that just many years ago, I remember this when I was still back in Malaysia. So my older brother, those who have seen Pastor Kumar, at that time he was an outreach pastor in another area. So and one time he told me this story. While they were having, once a month, they had an all-night prayer meeting. Do you know all-night prayer meeting? That means you do prayer meeting at night. Right? So they were just for believers. Right? So it was just worship time. They would just worship and praise God. And suddenly, I don't know how or who invited this guy. There was an Indian man who's a Hindu. Walk into that place. And the thing is that they don't have chairs during those nights. So he was standing there the whole time. And then right at the finishing of the service, he came and told my brother, he said, I don't know what was happening, but when I came into this place, I began to sense some kind of power in this place. He don't know how to explain. He's a Hindu. It's the first time. I don't know, first time or what. But he was so curious. He said, something different in this place. And I want more of this. What can I do? So that night, my brother led him to Christ. Amen. Can you imagine? There was no preaching that night. He's just standing there in the long worship time. You know, sometimes we complain. We try to skip worship time. I'm not trying to bring condemnation, but sometimes we don't understand. We think that preaching is the most important part. And we forget that the whole service is very important. Especially when you come to the time of worship. That's why we have worship first before the preaching. But something, when you come into the presence, when we begin to worship, you lifting up your heart, begin to sing praises, God began to change something to your circumstances. Amen? And you will know yourself that how many times you will experience a peace in your heart. You know, I've spoken to many who are already come back here, but you know, those who in the, every time I ask them, you know, oh, what, how was it? I mean, like, you say, you know, the service, the worship was great today. I mean, like, are you sure? Because this morning we only had 20 minutes to practice. We knew it never been possible with our practice to see that how God was able to do this. But there's something about, you know, when you do your best, God do the rest. Amen? It's so important that we begin to lift up our praises. And not only that, you begin to see here that you don't underestimate the praise and worship time. Not only the jailer, the other criminals got loosed up, but the jailer, when he woke up, he said that the gates were open and it seemed probably everybody have left. So he thought he was going to kill himself, right? He drew the knife to kill himself, and then Paul and Silas began to raise him and say, "Don't do it. We are still here." And then what he did, when he came, he began to fall on the trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. He said, like, who in the world are these guys? They were just singing some songs and I don't know what else they were doing. How could this happen? They began to realize there's something so powerful in these guys. And he asked, like, how can I be saved? You know, he's not talking about how I want to be saved, go to heaven. No, he wants to be saved from his superior because he is the one who's in charge of that jail. If everybody got loose and left the jail, somebody need to pay the price. So Paul, taking this opportunity, what he did, he said, you know what? I tell you how to be saved. You believe in Jesus. You know why? Even you die now by your superior kill you, you still have a place to go to heaven. Amen? So that's why we are not afraid. I mean, we are thinking about the virus and all that. But if you are trying to just to be alive and you are panicking just to keep yourself alive, I tell you, sooner or later, I don't know what's going to happen. Because you're so consumed by trying to be alive. No, that's not a goal, because when you come to God, you are already dead in Him. Amen? And no matter whether you are here or not, God will still fulfill His purposes. Amen? He'll know what to do. He know how to take care. But I mean, we use our wisdom to do the right thing. But we don't live in the fear. And what happened is that the jailer gave his life. And then not only that, he said that, you know, he later went to their home, the jailer, he took them home, the prisoners, he took them to their home. And the whole house got saved. Now they all were baptized. Can you imagine that? How would you imagine the guy who put you in the jail and then now he and his family got saved? I mean, recently you know that there's a new liaison office for Macau in Hong Kong. This guy is very well known in the mainland China for taking down thousands of crosses in which province? Suzhou or something like that. Anyway, he's now the person in charge for Hong Kong and Macau. You know, I prayed for him. I said, you know, God, let him have the encounter that Paul had. No matter what he's going to be, but anyway, whatever he's breathing or threat or murder, no matter what, if you could do it for Paul, who is he? He will come into his knees. Amen? The big nation just right beside us is about to see that. They're going to come into their knees to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? And then he says here, this is the restoration. The jailer cleaned up wounds of Paul and Silas. And then they say they had a good time. They were chatting in their home. And then he seems like he brought back to the jail. There will be times when others will see what you are going through or gone through and see God through you. Amen? And we'll start seeking for Him and begin to give praises because of your life. So don't underestimate it. What you are going through today that nobody is watching. There's somebody might be watching. They might not be saying, but they are watching your life every stop of the way. They are watching your family. They are watching you, how you are treating your children, how you are treating your in-laws, how you are treating your friends. Somebody is watching. Lastly is that thanksgiving paves the way for God to do more. Amen? He said, yet times of conflict, when we should be praising God the most. Why is that? Because praise builds your faith. Amen? And it runs off the devil and it ministers to God. That's what your praise does. Praise will take you places, and praise will change your circumstances. So I'm not talking about just being super spiritual Christian here, trying to show off yourself. You know, sometimes people might not understand, but there's something that God has put within you that even in the midst of all these things, you are still able to praise God. Let me challenge you. If you're going to go through hell, go through with somebody. Don't be alone. They made a mistake to put Paul with Silas in the same room. Because when they two get together, if they have separated them, maybe it will be a different story. Now they have put them together. They literally brought the house down. Amen? Tell your neighbor, they brought the house down. They kept singing until not only their chains got loosed, but people who were around them, their chains were loosed too. This is the power of praise, my brothers and sisters. You will see that they were not only delivered, but here on the same passage, they were acquitted from all their charges. You know what? They were trying to tell them quietly to leave because they found out in the prison that Paul was a Roman citizen. Because if you're a Roman citizen, they were thrown into a prison without even giving them a chance to defend themselves. So they actually got into trouble by putting Paul, I'm not sure of a Silas, but Paul is a Roman citizen. He's a rightful citizen, so they shouldn't have done. So they told Paul and said, okay, you all can leave quietly. But Paul is a smart guy. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the Bible, right? The New Testament. He's a real educated man. He's a smart guy. He told them, you know what? I'm not going to leave this jail until your magistrate, the guy who threw me here, he come and tell us to come out. He bring us out. I won't leave. So everybody got frightened now because they're in trouble now. You know, I mean, like, if you're a Roman citizen, you have some kind of rights that nobody should touch you without giving you a proper way to justify yourself. And they did it without even asking them. So they were really in deep trouble. And what happened? They came and took him out and they say, let them leave the city peacefully. You know what? The devil, he might tie your chains, your hands, but nothing can stop you from praising God. Amen? He can stop your feet from moving around, but nothing can still stop you from still praising God in your heart. Amen? That's not who you are. But what the devil is trying to do is that the moment he began to bring problems, he wanted to be quiet, to move to a lonely place. Devil, hear this secret. The devil likes to attack you one-on-one, especially when you are isolated. That's why it's very important. When you are isolated, the devil will begin to do things that you cannot imagine. So that's why it's important that we are part of a community. Amen? I mean, we don't have a live group and all that right now. But the thing is that we encourage you always to be connected. Because when you are alone, the enemy will find a way to bring you down. Hallelujah. So if you will allow, God can and will change your destiny, your shame, and all your curses into honor. Amen? You didn't come this far to give up. Amen? And in Psalm 91, 14 and 15, it says that the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When ye call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble, and I will rescue and honor them. Amen? This is God's promise to you, not my promise. And surely, He will do this. In conclusion, never judge God's love for you based on your circumstances. Are you hearing me? And the same thing too. Because it's easy to see somebody else going through some difficult time and then try to judge, oh, is the person have done something? Because we always will acute something happened in their life and then trying to think that they have probably have done something bad, that they deserve this. No, sometimes you don't have to think this way. It's the time that you began to pray for them. You don't know what the circumstance they're going through. Nothing is beyond God's control. And you cannot control your future or know your future, but with the power of your praise, you are declaring that God is in absolute control of your life and your future. Amen? That's why praise does. You say that, God, when I say you are my Lord and Savior, what are you doing is that I am delivering myself. You say, I have no control. You take control of my life. And this is what I want you to do. I know you might not be having any problems with your life, but there's something about what is happening in Hong Kong. You know, it somehow can affect you, can affect the city. But, you know, there are different things that we are going through more than what is Hong Kong is happening here. But in every circumstances, God is there. God will take care of you. God will change. God will reverse your shame. Amen? Because that is who He is. That He is the way maker. Shall we rise to our feet as we begin to worship Him right now? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We praise Him, my Lord. As we begin to sing this song, you know, let's declare that the glory of God, let's declare the praises of God into your life, into your circumstances. Oh, hallelujah, we praise you, Jesus. Let's lift up your voice and begin to praise Him right now.